Drama on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. It's a Medical Monday, and tonight we're talking about men and birth control, specifically about the vasectomy. How is it done? What are the risks? And why would you decide to do it? And if you've had the experience or you're curious about it, please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, we are taking your phone calls tonight. My guests are Dr. Pamela Coleman, a Howard University Hospital urologist, and WHUR news reporter Troy Johnson. He has had the procedure. Full disclosure, so have I. Let me go back to the phone lines. Rufus calling from D.C. Rufus, thanks for calling. Okay, we lost Rufus. Rufus, give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Dan calling from D.C. Dan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to basically make a comment regarding the vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to say that any man that's out there that's contemplating doing it, just know that you definitely do have to talk it out with your partner, whether it be your spouse or whomever, because it is a life changing moment that is not to be played with.
Why do you say that, Dan? Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because, you know, the reversal portion, you know, is not always guaranteed if you decide to reverse the procedure. So that's why I mean it's life changing, and it's something that you shouldn't be playing with. This is, you know, our bodies are not toys that you can just alter them whenever you feel like it. So that's what I mean. I mean, I had this procedure when I was 21, and my wife, who I'm going on 22 years now, we were on our second child, and I knew the way things would be going, we'd probably be up there with the 19 kids and counting type characters. So It was a life-changing experience. I will say that it was... the level of discomfort was only brief. It was like maybe 3 days at the most that I felt any kind of pain. But other than that, I've been blessed with two wonderful boys, and they're almost grown. And I would seriously, start thinking with your spouse or your loved one if this is the road that you want to take.
Okay. Well, Dan, thank you so much. You make an excellent point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about men and birth control, specifically vasectomies on this Medical Monday. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ashley calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Hi, what's on your mind, Ashley? Ashley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go speak up, please.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, please.
Yes, I wanted to know, after the procedure, how long does it take for it to go back to normal? The swelling and...
Okay, sure. Doctor, please. Dr. Coleman.
Sure, Ashley. So, Ashley, let me just say, in general, there's probably about 500,000 vasectomies done in the United States. And I would say 9% of men actually take advantage of the procedure, and 27% of women actually end up having a bilateral tubal ligation, which is more invasive procedure for women to have. We have to go inside your body into the abdominal lower pelvic area. It's more costly. It can be more painful. But for vasectomy for men, we're working actually on the scrotal sac, on the skin outside the body. Like I mentioned, a very small incision. Most men may have a little bit of discomfort. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe 4 to 5 after surgery out of 10. And certainly we ask them to take a few days off rest. Ice pack does a lot to help with the pain, using an ice pack postoperatively. Elevation, using a jock strap or a scrotal elevation, keeping the scrotum elevated. And then after that, there's nothing that is made abnormal. Basically, it's just interrupting that flow of sperm from the testicle to the prostate and the semen and out the body. So we're not altering any anatomy per se. The other thing is that the time when a man is fertile, it does take time. Unlike when women have a tubal ligation, they're sterile at that point. Men are not sterile right after the vasectomy. They do need to wait approximately about 3 months and then maybe another 6 months, do 2 semen analysis and make sure that those semen are negative for sperm. Mm-hmm.
Troy, let me, Ashley, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Troy, you said it was about 13 years ago. I don't know if you even remember. How long was it before you were, as Ashley suggested, back to normal?
Back to normal. I do remember. I know that that the doctor has spoken pretty extensively about the recovery time. Most people have a pretty easy recovery in 3 or 4 days. I know that there are usually a lot of procedures done right around when the NCAA tournament NCAA tournament first weekend starts, because guys can take a load off, relax, recover over that first weekend of the tournament, and they're back to work on Monday. So that's like, I don't know if you all have ever heard that or not. But that's when a lot of men tend to schedule these surgeries. I had a little more difficult recovery. It probably was in excess of a week, which I'm sure is not the normal situation. But in terms of getting back to my old spry self or whatever the case may be, it didn't take
very full long. Of vim and vigor you
yes,
were.
Yes, I was. I was fine. I did just fine.
Well, I remember my doctor, and it's funny, and it's not funny, ha-ha, because I remember when he said, well, you probably want to put, an ice pack on. And I'm like, ooh, because, again, nobody wants any discomfort,
right.
Below the waist. And, and my next question, and that's probably the one that a lot of guys are wondering about, is, okay, so when can I, have sex again? And I think he said 3 weeks to a month. And I said, mon Dieu, here, punch the pearls. Are you kidding? But, why so long?
Well, I think that really depends on the patient, the physician, and your recovery. But a lot of times, if everything goes very smoothly, some patients can begin to have intercourse within the next 2 weeks or so. But keep in mind that you need to wear some type of protection, a condom, because you still have those millions of sperm that are in that distal part of the vas deferens that have not been ejaculated out. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we look at some people ask about, well, what are some of the failure rates with vasectomy? A lot of times it's because people don't wait until they get that negative semen analysis that doesn't show any sperm present.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very important. But, pain is very subjective. I will say the patients that I have operated on usually return to work in about 3 to 5 days. Now, like any procedure, there can be complications, usually less than 1%. Sometimes it can be bleeding or like a hematoma that can develop right underneath the skin where the incision was made. Sometimes there can be chronic pain that patients experience as they do after any operation. The risk of infection, again, is less than 1%. A lot of these things can be managed, and they can be mitigated, and they can be taken care of. And then once they are taken care of, the person can resume to their normal activity.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about vasectomies tonight on this Medical Monday. Let's go to Ron calling from Clinton, Maryland. Ron, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, how are you doing?
Just fine.
First, I wonder, I had chronic pain for a long time after I had mine. I used to get a real sharp pain in my arm. I used to get a very sharp pain all the time. So I was going to the doctor regularly trying to figure out, what could I do to help ebb it. But I got it reversed back and the pain went away. But now I'm in the process of actually, because I got mine done when I was in my 20s, real young. Because I had 2 kids when I was in the military pretty young. Mm-hmm. But now I'm older and I'm trying to, the reversal, like you say, it didn't work. I mean, it worked far as got rid of the pain, but far as trying to have a kid now, we have to go to the, I don't know what you call it, when you take the semen out your testicles.
Yeah, and, you're talking about artificial insemination?
Yes.
Right. But the thing is, I can't afford it. It's like, because I'm $27,000. So I was wondering if, because I went to a doctor and he was telling me that he can do the extraction and we just use a turkey baster and just, you know, just try to keep
artificial.
You know, a moderate follow her menstrual and just try to do it at that time. But the distraction each time you do it, it costs you a couple like $1,500. So
wow,
is any way? Because most of the birth clinics, they make you do. They won't just take your sperm and put it on the egg. They want you to do a whole bunch of other things too. So is any other way that it can be done, or is it just that is the only way it can do it? If you extract the sperm and then you should actually take the egg from the woman and.
Well, let's see if Dr. Coleman can address your question.
Yes, thank you for your question. And as you mentioned, some patients that, like yourself, unfortunately, that have chronic pain, the way to reverse that is to reverse the vasectomy sometimes. But as I mentioned, those sperm may not have the same quality as they did initially before your vasectomy, and the vasectomy reversal may not work because you can get scarring. Your body actually develops antibodies to your own sperm.
Oh.
And those antibodies then attack your sperm, mm-hmm. and then they don't work as well. So that's what happens. Now, the procedure that you're referring to is called PESA, P-E-S-A, which stands for percutaneous epididymal sperm aspiration. And that procedure, again, is also done under local anesthetic, and that's putting a small needle in and aspirating those sperm and then doing the artificial insemination. Right now, that is probably what you're going to need to do, unless you look at sperm donor. But as you mentioned, yes, unfortunately, chronic pain can occur, but it can be helped. But the important factors, I think, for you, when you had your vasectomy, how young you were. So again, taking into account that this is, once you think of it as a permanent procedure, not to be taken lightly, and to try to discuss with your partner if you can. And also the time involved when you're looking at doing a reversal.
Yeah. I think it's critical to underscore that you really do have to take a lot of time, mm-hmm. even beyond, we've had a few callers who've talked about their conversation with their significant other.
Yes.
That's important, but it's still your decision. It's still a life decision that you're making. I remember the doctor making a joke, ha-ha kind of joke, when not long after it may have been before the procedure, and he was kind of like, well, this is permanent. This is it. Are you sure this is what you want to do? I said, yeah, I'm absolutely 100% sure this is what. He said, well, it's reversible. But, it was kind of, he really was trying to test whether or not I understood the ramifications about what I was going to be doing. And again, for me, I spent a lot of time. I thought about it. I really, maybe beyond my years at the time, was thinking about what is this going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now? You really have to think long term about, whether or not you're okay with what you have so far. If you have kids already, if you really want to have children at some point down the line, life obviously can change, but you really want to make sure that you've given it as thorough a thought process as you can.
And to piggyback on what you're saying, Troy, because like you said, we've had callers, at least two, that said that they've had this done in their 20s because they already had children. And, but then 10 years or 15 years later, I mean, you're in your 20s. Well, then you're still in your 40s.
Yeah.
You would not have been able to project how your world may be,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you get a divorce or whether you were married before, if you were never married before. And I think the conversation that you would have to have in meeting someone new is that, well, by the way,
yeah.
You don't have any children. If you want children, you're not going to be able to have them with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of those really delicate but critically important conversations yeah. that could change the trajectory of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But something to think about. Ron, thank you so much for calling. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Otis from Baltimore. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Also on the other side, we're also going to talk about STDs and what impact a vasectomy has on them, if at all. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. It's a Medical Monday, and we're continuing our conversation about vasectomies. My guests are Dr. Pamela Coleman, a Howard University Hospital urologist, as well as WHUR news reporter Troy Johnson, who has also had the procedure. I've had it as well. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
It's not a requirement in the WHUR news department, by the way. I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, God. Otis, are you there? Okay. That was pretty good. Well, you know.
I promise. It's not.
Well, I guess we've lost Otis. That was a great one, Troy. We'll have to use that later. But talk to me a little bit about you know, STDs and other, sexually transmitted issues. This does not prevent that. Is that correct?
That's correct. A vasectomy does not prevent one acquiring other sexually transmitted diseases or illnesses. So you still need to take protection. You still need to wear your condom. You still need to have a conversation with your partner to know your HIV status. Both partners really should know their HIV status and where you are and really be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the other thing is we often talk about men making this decision because they don't want to necessarily have children. But sometimes men are put in the position of considering this because of health issues regarding their mate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I would say I've had several patients come to my office with their partners. And, for example, one where his wife was not able, she'd had like three or four children and lost two children. Her pregnancies had been complicated. She was not able to carry to term. And she did not, they really wanted another alternative from her having to undergo another open procedure for tubal ligation. But they would still be able to have family planning, and they did not want to have any more children. So this was definitely a safer alternative for her husband or her partner this time to undergo a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that a lot of men are often concerned about, they're concerned about, you know, their virility, whether or not this will affect their sexual performance, erection, as well as volume of semen. What impact could this have on all of those?
The vasectomy does not have any impact on any of those. So like I said, the vasectomy is simply on the vas deferens, on that cord that carries the sperm. So your testicles are still going to make testosterone. Your voice is not going to change. You're still going to have the same virility. Your sex drive is going to be the same. The nerves that are involved with your erections are not interfered with this procedure. Those nerves are actually internal inside your body. So you're still going to be able to have the same erections, ejaculation, orgasm. None of that is going to change after a vasectomy. Actually, some people have even better lovemaking because now they're not concerned about having any children. And so they can feel freer about being more intimate and involved in their sex life.
No psychological barriers.
No psychological barriers. And if a patient does have psychological barriers, I really ask them to, let's talk about it. Talk to me about it. What are you concerned about? Let's have an open conversation so that I can help allay those fears and let you know that, no, none of those things are going to happen with having a vasectomy. And even the surgical procedure itself is a tiny incision. Sometimes we leave a few sutures, which will dissolve on their own. They don't have to be removed. If a no-scalpel technique is used, actually the incision just closes on its own without even placing any sutures. So there are no psychological barriers. Maybe the barriers that sometimes the myths that people come with them, and those myths I really want to speak about. That's why I feel it's important to come in for a consultation first. There are some offices that will do the consultation and the procedure the same day. I like to have the consultation, Talk about the barriers, talk about the myths, talk about your concerns, and then if you decide you want to have the procedure, then we go ahead and schedule the procedure.
You mentioned a no scalpel procedure. How is that? How is that done?
Well, the no scalpel technique is just that. It was developed almost about 30 years ago now, but basically not using a scalpel to make an incision. You're basically using another type of hemostat to make an opening into the skin and then be able to retrieve the vas that way. And that's fine. There are a lot of surgeons that are very talented with doing a no scalpel technique, and things are fine. But the ultimate, however your surgeon does the procedure, the ultimate outcome is that you don't want to have any sperm in your semen. So some surgeons will do a no scalpel technique. I actually do make a small incision. I do take a specimen out for pathology to make sure that I indeed removed your vas deferens, because there are other structures that can feel like the vas. It can feel like fatty tissue or other cord structures, blood vessels and veins like that. And then I like to make sure that the ends are burned and that at least one end is buried so that the two ends don't meet. And fortunately, I have not had anyone come back with having children after vasectomy. So.
Now, I just got
going off the rails.
About the requirement for all WHUR news.
Yes,
you're probably going to be a trending topic.
Oh, good. All right, great.
You, not me. But I tell you, how much time do we have left? So anyway. But here's the other thing that I think a lot of men are also concerned about. You said sometimes there, after the procedure, after the healing, that to make sure that all of the active sperm that is in the vas deferens is gone. But how do you know that, let's say, a year later, that there couldn't be a whoops or an ups or an uh-oh, after or even 2 years? I mean, is there a possibility that they could reconnect, that, something could happen? Does that happen?
Yes. Vasectomy is not 100%, probably close to 99%, but there is a 1 in 1,000% chance that you can get recanalization. Whereas, let's say, with the tubal ligation in women, it's about 1 in 100 chance. So, again, it's so important to get those two negative semen analysis. Usually, if you have two negative semen analysis, the first one about 3 months apart, because let's look at it, guys, you're still making sperm for the rest of your life. Women are born with all the eggs they're ever going to have, and that's it. But you still make sperm. And so, those sperm are still being made, and they're going to be reabsorbed. But you want to, if you have two negative semen analysis, first one about 3 months, and the next one about 6 to 8 weeks later, and they're totally negative, there's no active sperm, then you have not 100%, but a good 99% of chance that you have voluntary sterilization has been complete.
So what are you looking for, after you receive a sample 3 months later, 6 months later? I mean, are you looking for, as they would say, the little swimmers like we saw in eighth grade through the microscope? Is that what you're really looking for? Or?
Yes, we're really looking for the sperm. We're looking for active sperm. Sometimes on the first collection, there may be a few sperm, but they're not, there may be dead sperm. They may be sperm that are not actively moving. Mm-hmm. When we look at the little swimmers, we're looking for a complete swimmer would have a head, a neck piece, a body, and a tail, mm-hmm. and they're moving in a forward direction, and there's a good number. But so that's what we're looking for. The volume of semen we're actually not necessarily interested in, because we know that's not going to significantly change. But we're actually looking for the sperm in the semen, and we ideally you like to have a totally negative semen analysis with respect to sperm.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you mentioned someone going to have this process reverse, and you said that the body will begin to develop antibodies to attack the sperm that is being reabsorbed. If you have the process reversed, is it possible that the body would stop developing those antibodies?
That's a very good question. I would say, though, on the process of reversal, and I haven't done any reversals recently, but I used to do reversals, and it's usually a microscopic procedure. When we open the scrotum and we look at the ends of the vas that have been cut, the end that's closest to the testicle where the sperm are made, we cut where the area, the scar tissue was from the surgery, and we actually see if there's actual sperm coming out of that end. We look at it under the microscope. If we see sperm coming out of that end, that's a very good sign that we may be able to reverse this. The other issue is on the amount of vas deferens that is removed. Certainly, if you remove 100% of the vas deferens, your chances are that your reversal is not going to be there. But if there's still a significant amount of vas deferens there, we can reverse it. But as I would say, the quality of those sperm, they just are not the same as they were initially. And that has to do with the time. So I think one caller called in, if you reverse it within a year, the chances are better that you will be able to have normal fertility versus waiting 7 to 9 years out.
So are we talking about the possibility of birth defects and the like?
No, it's not a possibility of birth defects. The sperm that the mature sperm that are made and that after the reversal, those are normal mature sperm that make it and fertilize the egg, and things should be normal. So they don't really necessarily add to any type of birth defects. It's just that the mature sperm and the sperm being able to fertilize the egg and well, actually first being able to move up to the vaginal canal and then fertilize the egg. So what I would say is that if you do have a reversal, get it done soon versus later if you really haven't thought about it. The longer you wait, the less chance that it's going to be effective.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Dr. Pamela Coleman and, of course, Troy Johnson, for sharing with us. And, Troy, hang in there, buddy.
I will. You too, Harold.
Dr. Coleman, thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your wonderful bedside manner and sense of humor as well. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, January 30th, 2017. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR, or H Fisher, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World.